So here we go. Not that I've already attained, not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Aren't you glad for that? Brothers, sisters, he says, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this same way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. I put down here that I doubt that there's anyone listening to me this evening or watching on live stream, and we have quite a number of people that watch on live stream, that could not look back on your life and feel somewhat sad or maybe remorseful, have some regrets of doing things in days gone by that you should not have done, or secondly, maybe of not doing some things that you should have done. And if you think about those things, this message is for you. Tonight I want to share with you one of the greatest lessons in life that you will ever learn. And I'm applying this to myself. I've had to apply this to myself over the years. And that is how to confess, commit, and continue on in life in spite of the things in the past where you have failed or others have failed you. Our encouragement for doing this is right here in Philippians chapter 3. A man who wrote nearly two-thirds of the New Testament shares his personal testimony, just like we've heard tonight, of how God came to his rescue and of what his desire is for the days that are ahead. I'm going to jump right into this tonight and share with you. I've put this into alliterative form. Like I know some of that, sometimes that drives you crazy, but it's a memory aid for me. And so I've put this into four or five different aspects that I hope will be helpful about how to maintain your fire and your fervency for God as you move along the Christian life, even if you've known him for a long, long time. The first point that I have down here is be diligent in your position. Be diligent in your position. Now, what do you mean by that? I want you to delight in your position in Christ, that you are a son or a daughter of God. That's something to really rejoice over. That's something every day to say, thank you, Lord, that you took me in. Thank you, Lord, that you counted me worthy. And Father, even as you have counted me worthy, help me to share with others. So I want you to delight in your position, but I want you to be diligent in the aspects of maintaining fire and fervor in your walk with God as you delight in your position. Notice that verse there, 12, and you'll see what I'm talking about. He said, not that I have already obtained this or that I'm already perfect, but I press on. Do you see the diligence that that entails? Paul is saying there, I am not satisfied. I'm saved, as it were. I'm sanctified, but I'm not satisfied. I want to be diligent in continuing on in my ministry, in my service for the Lord. You see, I think there's two dangers that we face. One is with the past and with our present. We must avoid living in the past. I don't even have to tell you why that is. Some people embalm the past and substitute it for the present, whether it's bad or good. If it's bad, they use their past as an excuse of why they cannot or do not serve the Lord, or why they can't do this or why they can't do that. And I'm not minimizing that some have had some very traumatic childhoods. But I'm also saying that no matter what has happened to you in the past, no matter how dramatic or traumatic it has been, The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, and the grace of God heals. And if we allow some events in the past, however shameful they have been, however hurtful they have been, however difficult they have been, if you allow them to continue to flood your mind every day, and you have this little chip on your shoulder, you have this hurt in your heart, you are not living in an up-to-date, blood-washed relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because he not only is a holy God, he's a healing God. And that doesn't mean that you will forget what's happened to you, but you will move past what's happened to you and ask God to make you fruitful and useful in the present time. So I'm not talking, I want you to, when we talk about be diligent in your position as a son or daughter, I'm not talking about a position at work here. We're talking about your position spiritually. Be diligent in that position to keep pressing on. Success is not determined by what we are, but rather by what we are compared to what we could be. Do you follow that? Success is not, it's not what we are, but what we could be by the grace of God. It's not measured by what we have done, but rather by what we have done compared to what we could have done if we had applied ourselves. So the first step, as you come into this new year, and this is not necessarily a New Year's message, this is an every day, every week, every month reminder to us. The first step in moving forward, in being fruitful and being joyful, in being used of God, is never be satisfied with where you are. Paul says, not that I've already obtained. You and I are never going to reach a place of where we can just say, my name's written down, I'm secure in my position, and that's it. I'm going to just live my life at a 40 or 50% level the rest of my days. If you do that, I can promise you the Lord will get a hold of your ear and discipline you spiritually. Because he wants you to be fruitful and useful for him. So the first point there is be diligent in your position. Point number two, and this is part of what I'm sharing here, it kind of links together, but you have to be delivered from your past. Be delivered from it. Verse 13 again, notice what he says here. I press on to make it my own because Christ has made me known. I do not consider that I have made it on my own. Now, if anybody could be ashamed of his past, if anybody could be guilty over the things that he had done, it was the Apostle Paul before he came to the Lord. He was a zealous fanatic, and he was mean and cruel. Not the kind of guy that you would have wanted to have breakfast with at all. He was a hardliner, so to speak, politically, in the sense that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and they had 10,000 of rules that they lived by. But Paul says, I count not myself to be there yet, but one thing I do. The Bible often likens the Christian life to a race, and Paul uses athletic language in all of this. He uses the word press on, reaching forward. He uses the word goal and prize. All of those are racing terms. And you and I cannot be undone. Let me put it this way. The past, whatever you might have in your past, and we all have things in our past, and some are crippling. Some are devastating. Some of them you will never forget. But my challenge to you is you must not let your past form a straitjacket around you and keep you from pressing on in service to Christ. If that were true, I wouldn't be here tonight. If that were true, some of you wouldn't be here tonight because you've dared to confess it and forsake it and move on in your life. You cannot be bound by your past. Someone said, you cannot move forward if you're always looking backward. Perhaps you heard about the little boy who was listening to his Sunday school teacher tell about Lot's wife and how she looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. He said, oh, that's nothing. My mother was driving a car to the grocery store yesterday. She looked back and turned into a telephone pole. So it's dangerous to look back at any time in your life, especially if you're driving. More on a serious note, Winston Churchill once made this statement, if the present quarrels with the past, there can be no future. In other words, be delivered from your past. Now, I put in your notes some things. How can we do that? What are some of the things that grip most people? In our counseling as pastors, we deal with these four things most of the time. They're not all of them, but every one of us, I believe, has several of these areas that, if they're undealt with, will be like a boil in our spiritual life. The first one is guilt. He had to forget about, Paul did, past guilt. He had been a persecutor of the church. He had even been responsible for hailing people and possibly even the deaths of Christians. There, he was a murderer, a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church. The deep scars of sin was embedded into his heart, though he was a very educated man and a very accepted man by his peers at that time. But Paul had to forget about the past guilt. Sometimes we think if we forget about the past or place it under the blood, that the devil says you are minimizing or rationalizing. If you are sincerely repentant in your past, no matter what you have done, if you sincerely are repentant of that and confess that as a sin, there is no sin that you cannot move past. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that includes whatever you may be thinking of in this moment that has troubled you in days gone by. Confess it and forsake it. Do not carry the guilt of that. The enemy would want you to feel guilty every day, but you have to lay that guilt at the foot of the cross because Christ has paid the price. Another thing that some people are shackled by is they have to forget past grief. Paul was suffered terribly. He had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. He had been scorned. He had been left for dead. He'd been alienated. He'd been ostracized by his family. You have to forget past grief. One of the men, a notorious man, he's still living today, I won't mention his name, but I have prayed for years for the salvation of a man who owns thousands, and this will probably tell it off, but thousands and thousands and thousands of acres and thousands and thousands and thousands of buffalo. Now, he's an entrepreneur, a world-famous entrepreneur. I don't know why the Lord laid him on my heart to pray for him, but he holds a grudge against God to this day because when his father took ill when he was a younger man, he prayed that God would heal his father. Our father, Heavenly Father, did not choose to heal this entrepreneur's father, and he has held a grudge against God to this day. He says, don't talk to me about God. If there was a God, he would have heard my prayer and healed my dad. Well, I wanted to, that man, if he doesn't change his ways, will go to hell wallowing in grief that of a grief that he has carried in a grudge against God. Now, that's the final one down there. Let's go on. I'll get to that in a moment. But any grief in your past, sometime we have caused our own grief, and sometimes others have caused us grief. There's no doubt about that. But that's not just you. You're not the only person in the world that others have caused grief. You are one of millions in likewise that have probably caused some grief to others. And if you want to carry that around all your life, you won't have room to carry the blessings of God in your heart. Number C there, he had to forget past glory. You say, what do you mean by that? Now I'm talking about positions in this situation. As far as the church was concerned, Paul was the toast of the town. He was a spiritual superstar, but he had to forget all of that. And one of the things that we in the church, I'm so grateful that God blesses us as a church and that we love one another and that you love us as pastors. I'm so grateful for that. But one of the dangers in that is a self-satisfaction that we must never accept glory unto ourselves individually or as a church. Do you understand that? We must never think what a fine, wonderful bunch we are here. I think we should be thankful for it. We should give praise to God every day. Thank you, Lord, for our church. Thank you for our worship team and for our pastors and for those. But if you occupy any position at all, whether it's an elder or a deacon or a deaconess, if you're a big shot at work and you've got authority over men or many men and women, do not glory in your position. It is transitory, and it doesn't mean a snap of the fingers on the scale of eternity, except that you have more responsibility to be accountable for. So if anything, don't ever aspire to any position. Let God put you there. The Bible says if you aspire to certain things, it's a good thing, but let God arrange it. Don't you go on a crusade trying to get yourself in some place of authority or position, whether it's in the church or even on the job. The Bible says promotion comes from the Lord, and let him be the promoter of that. So if you have a tendency to think, well, I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, I'm a deaconess, I've given a lot of money to this church, I don't know what it might be, but we're all tempted to be lifted up into pride in a certain manner. And let me tell you, when you receive praises from man, always lay it at the feet of Jesus. You know, if you lay the praises at the feet of Jesus, I try to talk too fast. My wife gets after me all the time. She says, "Why do you talk so fast?" I say, "I'm so excited. That's why." But if you lay the praises at Jesus' feet, you'll be able to lay the criticisms at his feet just as easily. And let me tell you, you know as well as I do, if you're going to serve God, you're going to have people that think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, and you're going to have people that are not going to think you're sliced bread. Amen. They're going to think you're moldy bread. Should be fed to the birds. I tried to feed some bread to the birds the other day and wouldn't even eat it. It had mold on it, and I thought, well, you choosy little guys. And I think they said, hey, you didn't eat that thing. You expect us to eat that? No way. You have to get past glory. Get past this idea of who I am, a position, whether it's a secular position or a spiritual position. Number four, you have to get past grudges. Paul had been mistreated, he'd been betrayed, he'd been lied to, he'd been lied about. He'd been sold out. He had to forget all of those things if he was going to serve God and move forward, and so will you. If you're walking around tonight and you've got a grudge in your heart against somebody, the Bible says you should go to them and say, for some time now, I've had enmity against you, and the Holy Spirit has laid it on my heart that that is not pleasing to him. It is grieving and quenching to the Holy Spirit, and I don't want anything in my heart between God and my fellow man, and I'm asking you to please forgive me. And you say, well, I didn't cause that. I didn't do that. They're the one that should be talking to me. No, no, no. You go and you take responsibility and confess it, and God will honor that. You follow that? There's so many. I get troubled sometimes. When you're old, you get troubled by lots of things. I tell you, the news troubles you, the weather troubles you, your arthritis troubles you. There's just a lot of things that trouble you when you're a fossil. And one of the things that deeply troubles me is how God's people cannot get along. It's so sad. If we would just look into the face of Jesus for 30 seconds, we would consider everything in this world other than that. We would consider everything in this world and say, oh God, help me to see things and to see others like you see them. So those are the things. Number three, I could go on and talk a long time about some of these things. Be devoted to a purpose. I love tonight what Jessica said about staying in an accountability. You know, we have our small groups and we share in them. They even have an accountability group of housewives. I think that's wonderful. The more transparent we are to others, the more we will keep on track. GPS, if you've ever driven in a large city, it's good that you've got GPS. But if the thing doesn't ding quick enough and let you know in a quarter of a mile and you see about four exits there within 150 feet of each other and you're waiting for the ding-ding and the ding-dings and you're already past where you should have turned. And I think to myself, why didn't you ding ding a little quicker? That was too close to the turn. I've got a car that when it ding dings, it means now. It doesn't mean get ready, get set. No, it means turn now. And I tell you, friends, when it comes to this business here of being devoted to a purpose, Paul said, do you see there in verse 13? One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul said, I'm going to give my life to one thing. Those two words are very important, one thing. When the rich young ruler came to Jesus and asked him how to be saved, Jesus said, what? One thing you lack. When Martha was arguing with Mary over what was really important in life, Jesus said to Mary, to Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that. David said in Psalm 27:4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. That's why when you're asked to do something in the church, pray over it. Because sometimes there's a time when, even if it's a ministry, can I say this reverently and I say it carefully, but even if it's a ministry in the church, you need to pray and say, Lord, will that take up anything from my other ministries for you? You can have such a good heart and such a big heart that the enemy, if he cannot deter you, he will try to wear you down and wear you out to where you don't have any energy left for family or for personal time. God never called any of us to. I used to hear preachers back in the old days, you don't hear it much nowadays, but they say, I'm going to burn out for Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something. I don't think that's a very spiritual goal. That sounds mighty spiritual, but I don't think God calls anybody, said, I'm just going to make an ember out of you. You're just going to be a glowing ember, and everybody will know that you really burned out for me. I think we can have a testimony and a vital witness without being so possessed that we neglect family, that we neglect the things that are edifying to the body of Christ. It's my own opinion. I've supervised a lot of pastors in my day, and I'll tell you, I used to get after them when they would say, well, I want to burn out for Jesus. And I would say, why don't you just say I'm going to live completely for him and forget that burned out business, because you think you're a martyr when you get that attitude. I'm burning out for Jesus. God doesn't need you to burn out. He just needs you to shine out and glow. And if you just burn out, you just, and you're gone. And how many times do we see that in the Christian life? All right? So be devoted to a purpose. One thing. Set the right goals in life. My little clock isn't going up there. But here's four things that I want you to see. Things that you can look at that are in your notes about setting the right goals, about devoting yourself to this purpose. And that is this. Will it get me to where I need to go, which is to the deeper and more intimate relationship with God? Number two, will it help me to make somebody else successful or bless them in their walk with Christ? Number three, do I have to violate a spiritual principle to get there? I'm going to take 15 seconds and tell you a temptation that I faced this week. I went down to get a new fishing license, and I said to Dory, after you've been in Wyoming for 30 years and you're past 60, you can get a lifetime license, you know, and you don't have to buy anymore. And I said to Dory, how long have we been here now anyhow? Because we lived in Buffalo for 18 years and then served in the superintendency for a number of years. And then we've been here for now going on 27 years. And I said to Dory, how long have we been in Wyoming? And we figured it up, and it was 29 years and 6 months. And on the way down there, I thought, I'm going to apply for that Pioneer's license. 6 months is 6 months. I've been here totally, not consecutively. I've been here totally, lots longer than that. And the more I drove, I felt like the Lord said, so you're going to sell your integrity for $27. Is that what you're going to do? You are 6 months short. Are you going to go in there and tell that lady, you've been here 30 years? I thought, no, I'm not. I'll buy the miserable license for this year and pray that I can still go fishing next year and have the pioneer's license or that old geezer, whatever they call it. I don't know, that old geezer license. But you see, every day. Now, you'd think if somebody was 81 years old, they wouldn't have any temptations. I was tempted 6 months, they wouldn't know. They're not going to check back. But the Lord said, you're not going to do that, Larry. $27 for a fishing license, and you're going to sell your integrity for $27. But I was tempted. Amazing, isn't it? Even old people still have to stay under the checkings and leadings of the Holy Spirit. All right, number four, be determined. You could put dedicated, I don't care, as long as it's a D. It's got to be a D if it's going to fit here. Be determined or be dedicated in your passion. Verses 12 and 17, point that out and I'll close. It says, not that I've already obtained, but do you see, I press on, verse 12. And then do you see verse 17? Join me in imitating me. Can any of us say that? Would any of you be willing to say that or brave enough? Imitate me. Join in imitating me. Would you want people to follow you just and do everything and say everything that you did? I tell you, that sounds pretty scary to me. Join in imitating me. And then he goes on to say, keep your eyes on those. Where's the other word press on there? Oh, verse 14. I said 17, but it's verse 12 and verse 14. I press on toward the goal. So be determined in your passion. Somebody mentioned passion tonight in about serving the Lord, and they said, I don't want to lose my passion. And I thought, praise God. I pray that you and I will have our passion. You know, if you lose your passion, your intensity, your intensity should not be born out of uncertainty. Your intensity should be born out of your dedication, that you are determined that by the grace of God you're going to be in heaven and you're going to take as many people with you as you can. Well, let me give you this closing poem now, and we're going to call that good for tonight. It's a poem about pressing on. It says, run on from where you stand and never mind the past. The past can't help you when you're beginning new. If you've left it all behind at last, then you're done with it. You're through. This is a new chapter in the book. Today is the new lap in the race he's planned. Don't give the vanquished days a backward look. Run on from where you stand. Old failures need not halt. Old triumphs never aid. Today's the thing. Tomorrow soon will be. Get in the race and run it unafraid. Leave the past to ancient history. What has been is forgiven. That's if you confessed it. Yesterday is dead. But if you are neither blessed or banned by it, you are neither blessed or banned. Take courage then. Be brave and press ahead. Run on from where you stand. Every day in the Lord Jesus, my friends, is a new day. What happened yesterday, good or bad, has to be committed to the Lord. And then you continue on day by day, proving that as your days, so shall be your strength. So I hope these little things tonight, this little business here of forgetting your past guilt, forgetting your past griefs that you have caused or that others have caused you, forgetting anything that you might take pride in that God has blessed you with or in your service for Christ, forgiving past grudges. Oh, how they will be a cancer to your soul. They'll be like a moth in your spiritual closet. They'll eat holes in your spiritual life, and your vitality and your joy will drain away, and you will exist, but you won't enjoy the things that God has for you. So bow your heads, please. If you're struggling tonight, and I, every one of these things I've said tonight applies to me, every one of them. And I've had to deal with every one of them. Maybe you've dealt too long with them. I think it's not wrong to have to deal with these things. Where the sinful part comes in is when we refuse to yield them. When we refuse to acknowledge, it's me, Lord. That's me right there. I'm the one that's still shackled by the guilt of my past. I'm still shackled by a grief that happened to me, or maybe even a grief that you caused. I'm still, I have the tendency, Lord, to be proud. You've used me, blessed me, anointed me. Has that been your situation? Have you forgotten all of your past grudges that you think you could rightfully have against someone else, or have you carried them? Ephesians 4:24 says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Wonder if there'd be anybody tonight to say, Pastor, God has spoken to me, and by his grace, I'm committing myself anew to press on. I'm not going to let my past, I'm not going to let the hurts, I'm not going to let the shame or the pain, I'm not going to carry any grudges. By the grace of God, I'm just tonight renewing myself to the battle, renewing myself to carry the cross and to live. If God's just speaking to you, just lift your hand in prayer for a closing. Thank you. I see you. Oh, am I? Just a number of hands. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Get it up there quickly. I don't tarry long if the Lord's speaking. Thank you. Thank you. What you're doing by your uplifted hand and saying, I'm going to be diligent. I'm not going to be delinquent. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be, by the grace of God, fruitful. And I'm going to press on every day that he gives me with determination. Father, I thank you for these that have just lifted their hands in open confession tonight, even as we've testified openly. These have just lifted their hands openly and said, yes, Lord, I thank you that in your faithfulness you have spoken to me tonight. And Lord, I can't think of one of these applying to me right now, but I certainly have lifted my hand, would have had to lift my hand into every one of these in days gone by. But I don't have to live under some of these things anymore that I lived under because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because you make all things new. So I pray that you would do that for whatever arena, whatever one of these areas or several of these areas about guilt or grief or glory or grudges. I pray, Father, that you would deliver from that, from the past. Fix our eyes, Lord Jesus, upon living faithfully in the present. And, oh God, fill our hearts, souls, minds, and spirits with the joy of the future. And when someday we enter that celestial city, and by your grace hear you say, well done, you good and faithful servant. Make this come to pass in our lives, we pray in Jesus.